piping porridge. Here's to the biscuit tot. Here's to the java flowing like lava out of the coffee pot. Here's to the eggs and bacon. Here's to the waffles unique. And here's three rousing cheers for the best meal of the week. For it's Sunday morning, breakfast time, the time all men adore.
Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patent.
And we're the food guys. We finally come to the point where we must say something about CAFOs.
And what is CAFO?
Well, CAFOs are concentrated animal feeding operations. At least that's the term that's used by EPA and other agencies. It used to be confined animal feeding operations. Somebody's been at work there to change confined to concentrated. But you know what? It's sort of like concentration camp.
It is. It's really not a pleasant topic, but it is so prevalent, we really needed to bring it up. And then to discuss some ways this whole thing could possibly be overturned one day.
Something has to be done.
It's so contrary to the way animals are supposed to live and to be fed, because here we have huge numbers of animals that are in confined spaces. The feed is brought to the animals rather than the animals grazing or otherwise looking for feed in pastures and fields or rangelands. You have to confine animals for at least 45 days in a 12-month period, and there is no grass or other vegetation in the confinement area during the normal growing season.
Yeah, that's part of the definition of a CAFO. The other part of it is a minimum of 1,000 large beef animals, 700 dairy cows. For chickens, it would be 30,000 broilers for a wet manure system, 125,000 broilers for a dry system. For egg layers, it's 82,000. Hogs, 2,500. The thing I want to stress here is that these are the absolute minimum levels. In fact, most of these are much, much larger. As far as I know, there's no top level. None of it says anything about the size of the individual unit, of course.
Right.
What the crowding is like in the individual unit. If you're having 1,000 large beef animals, let's say you could have 1,000 buildings, right?
Right, you
with
could.
One animal
in one operation.
Each. Yeah, but that's not the way it works.
So what's the whole point? Why do we even have them? I know we've had them for a long time. We've had them for decades. What is the rationale behind them?
I think it actually started with chickens. The rationale is that it's efficient. Now, one of the rationales I hear is that it's the only way we can feed all these people.
I see.
You hear that said by people who represent these CAFOs. Without them, we could not feed all our people. You can't imagine. We soon will have 7 billion people in the world. We won't be able to do it. That's not true.
That's not true at all.
Simply not true. And they aren't any more efficient than small or medium-sized operations of the more traditional type. That's one of the things that
we've discovered. Well, then the question is how they've been able to get away with it for so long. I would imagine that there's a lot of subsidies that happen.
Well, it's extremely profitable. That's how they got away with it.
Yes, it's profitable, which means that they're making money off the government in terms of subsidies. Another thing about these CAFOs is that the animals are treated with enormous quantities of antibiotics because they're living in such crowded, unhealthy conditions. And of course, the antibiotics help the animals grow faster, but they also stay in the flesh. And if we eat those animals, then we're getting the antibiotics. Then over time, we develop resistance to certain diseases because of the antibiotics that we've been eating, but that the animals have been eating.
Beyond that, it develops microbes that become completely oblivious to all of these antibiotics.
Right. They're resistant.
And sort of super germs.
Yes, that's true.
And that's going to be a real serious problem for us down the road.
Yeah, I think there's a statistic, one number here that really struck me was that 70% of antibiotics in the U.S. are used by the CAFOs for non-medical purposes.
Yes, that's right.
They produce enormous quantities of manure, enormous quantities of waste products, three times more than the entire U.S. population of people.
That's right. The interesting thing about it is it's not just that kind of pollution, which is very problematical, but it's also air pollution. Ammonia is being released at
volatile
a huge
ammonia
extent. Yeah.
To the atmosphere.
There's a bunch of other related problems here. There's a lot of hidden costs One of the ways they get away with this is because they can keep the cost of food quite low.
Right.
Actually, it's unrealistically low.
Unrealistically low, right.
Anyway, we'll have to address some of these other things. We're going to do a follow-up show on this. It's a complicated issue. It's a big issue, and it can't be handled in just one show. So come back next week for
The Food Guys. Da 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 da